Today's daf is Kuf Hey. We're going to start in the middle of Kuf Dalet Amabet. Just to review, we started with this line in the Mishnah, Natan lo et hakeren. Okay, Natan lo et hakeren. So what did the Mishnah say? The Mishnah said, if he returns, Natan lo et hakeren velo Natan lo et hachomesh, he gives him the keren, but he doesn't return the fifth payment, you know, that payment of the extra fifth or really quarter. Machalo ala keren, if the guy said, listen, you don't have to, he already paid the keren, but not the chomesh. Or the guy said, you don't even have to pay me the keren. But he didn't machalo ala chomesh. He said, you still have to pay me the one-fifth. Or machalo al zeh ve'al zeh, chutz mishav apruta bekeren. We'll get to that case in a few minutes. Which is, he's mochelo on both, except he says, I still want you to pay me less than a shav apruta of the keren. In all those cases, eino tzarich lelech acharav. Okay, he doesn't need to go after him. So this is where we assume that what? What does it mean he doesn't have to go after him? Meaning he can now, he paid the keren, let's take the first basic case. He paid the keren, he didn't pay the chomesh. So what does he do? He can now go and take care of his korban. In other words, he doesn't have to wait for kapara. That's proof that what? That the chomesh isn't part of the kapara process, but it's mamon. It's a chiyuv mamoni. So in other words, he can take care of his asham zelot, he can bring his korban asham, and he just has to make sure at some point to pay the guy the chomesh. Or if the guy was mochal on the chomesh, then he doesn't even have to pay it at all. Okay, but he can still do the kapara. In other words, he doesn't have something on his head that's preventing him from going to do the kapara. So now we prove from here that what do you learn from here? If it's a chiyuv mamoni, then the yorshim have to pay it. That was where we left it. Because if it's a chiyuv mamon, then the yorshim, the heirs are responsible if the guy dies without having paid it. As opposed to if we had said it all had to do with the guy himself getting kapara, and then he dies, well then nobody else has to do kapara for him, and then the yorshim wouldn't have to pay. So now we're assuming, and we brought a braita that said, HaGozel et chavero, you can even look on the chart, it's here, V'nishbalo v'meit, yorshim mishlamim kerem v'chomesh, upturim mina asham. So here you have it, you steal, you swear, right, the Asham Gzela case. Here you have it explicitly, not just learning from our Mishnah, but the yorshim have to pay. This is going to contradict another source. Uraminhu, okay, right where there's parentheses in the middle of the page, it's right after that. And here's another braita that contradicts. Adayin ani omer, ematai eino mishalem chomesh al gezel aviv. Which are the cases where he doesn't have to pay chomesh? Now we're going to see that what? There's all these cases where the yorshim don't have to pay the chomesh. Okay? Now, if they don't have to pay the chomesh, right? We just said a minute ago, the yorshim have to pay the chomesh. So now here are going to be all the cases. Bizman shelo nishba lohu velo aviv. If neither of them swore, well then obviously there's no chomesh payment. Who v'lo aviv? He swore, but his father had never sworn falsely, so there was no asham gzela chiyuv. Remember, the asham gzelot is only if you swore falsely. In this case, he swore falsely, but his father never swore falsely. And his father had a loan out. He didn't pay it back. The kid said, oh, my father paid the loan back, or he never had such a loan. He lied, right? He swore falsely. Then he admits. Okay, in that case, he doesn't have to pay chomesh. Aviv v'lo hu? The father swore falsely, but not the son. The son himself didn't swear falsely, then he doesn't have to pay chomesh. And hu v'aviv, he and his father, both, right, b'zman shelo nishba lo hu v'lo aviv, or even if both of them swore. Okay, even if both of them swore, that would be our case, basically. Or our case would match a bunch of these, right, where even if he swears, and even if the father swears, and they both then admitted that they had done it, also, you don't have to pay chomesh. So the braita is going to read like this. Okay? So when do you not pay chomesh? Now I'm going to go back because I went through the cases, but now I'm going to read it the way it's supposed to be read. Adayin ani omeri, matayin om shalem chomesh al gezel aviv. Bizman shalom nishba, lo hu velo aviv, period. Now what about the rest of the cases? Hu velo aviv, aviv velo hu. Hu ve aviv minayin. Talmud lomar, asher gazal ve asher ashak. Vehu lo gazal velo ashak. Now what do we say? What they're basically saying is, no matter what, in any case, the only person who has to pay chomesh ever is the father and not the children. Because it says, asher gazal, or it says in the pasuk, asher ashak. He did something wrong. Now, this kid might have sworn falsely and then admitted that he lied, but he never stole. He never didn't pay money, you know, didn't pay his workers or whatever it was. It was the father who did the avir. So therefore, according to this source, the Asham Zelo never applies to the children, to the heirs. And we just said before that it does.
How does that work with the case of where his father doesn't swear and he does them? Because then he did Ashah. He did.
No, because he just swore he never stole it. The father stole something, and he lies about it. He swears about it. That's why. So the original Avera happened by the father. So this source seems to imply that the sons are never obligated, and that obviously contradicts. So now we're going to have it's going to take us a long time until we actually get to the answer. That's why I kind of summarized the answer in the boxes here in the chart so that you can see, because it's going to take us a long time to get to the actual answer. Okay, we're going to have two answers that are based on the same distinction, but toch kedei this distinction between both braitot, we're going to eventually get to some convoluted case in order to explain why it would be relevant. So now they're going to answer, Am Rav Nachman lo kasha, kan shahoda, kan shelo hoda. One is a case where the father had admitted that he did it. In other words, there was a gzela, right, where the father then admitted that he did it.
And then died.
And the other case is where the father didn't admit. Okay, so now, hold off, because now we're going to question this. What does it mean, the father didn't admit? Well, then who did admit? And then how could the son have done it, right? So we'll see. E lo hoda, if he never admitted that he did it, then keren nami lo mashalem. Then he shouldn't have to pay the keren. Even. This isn't a case of Asham Gzelo, basically. And the Chite Mahachinami Delo Meshalem, and if you want to say, maybe really the intent is you don't pay the Karen and you don't pay the Chomesh, Vahami Dekamahadar. Oh, so wait, now why wouldn't you have to pay the Karen? So this is because, one second, if the Yorshim don't have to pay if the father steals and he doesn't admit, then right, so what happens here? Sorry. What they're trying to say is this. Wait. Wait. Why wouldn't he be chayav the Karen? He's not chayav the Karen because, I guess, how would we even... if the case is he swore falsely, then we're going to take his shvuah. Then we're not going to be able to be mechayev him Karen unless he comes forward and admits, I lied falsely. Otherwise, we're relying on a shvua. So the assumption is that there shouldn't be, if really that's the case, that he wasn't hodeh, then what would happen? The kids shouldn't have to pay the Karen or the Chomesh. And what did the Braita say? He's only pater from Chomesh. And it didn't say he's pater from the Karen. And even if you wanted to say, maybe the Braita just talked about the Chomesh, but Hachanami Dulo Mashalim, in other words, but also you don't have to pay the Karen, it just didn't say so. Well, that doesn't make any sense because Bahami de Kamahadar a Chomesh Lememer de Karen Mashalim. In other words, the fact that they were saying he doesn't have to pay the Chomesh would obviously mean that he has to pay the Karen. Ve'od, and all the more so, I'll give an even better proof, Tanya, there's a Braita that says he has to pay the Karen. Now, here's going to be the exact cases. But where it comes to the Karen, and it's going to be flipped. That you do, you know, just like in all those cases, Hu Velo Aviv, right? Aviv Velo Hu, all that. We said you don't have to be Mishalim the Chomesh. Now we're going to say you actually have to be Mishalim the Karen. So if Adayin Ani Omeri Matayu Mishalim Karen Al Gazal Aviv Bizman Shenishba Hu VaAviv. Right? Obviously, and when are you going to have to pay the Karen if him and his father swore falsely? But Aviv v'lo hu, hu v'lo aviv, lo hu v'lo aviv minayin. What about all those other cases? Talmud lamar, gzela ve'oshek avedu pikadon. Because it gives all these cases, yesh talmud. So hold off for 1 second what this means. V'yatev rav huna v'kamar l'hashmata. He said this drasha. Amar le rabbi berei, rabbi his son said to him, yesh talmud ka'amar mar, yish talmud ka'amar mar. What is this yesh talmud? It's a very strange lashon. Does it mean really yesh talmud, or does it mean yish talmud, they have to pay, meaning you have to pay the Karen? So Amale, yesh talmud ka'amina. No, I really did mean, it really does say yesh talmud, and what does the Braita mean there? Umiribuya dekrai amre. Because it gives so many cases, it's obviously coming to include, so therefore what's it coming to say? That you're going to have to pay Karen as long as either the father or the son was Nishba B'Hodeh. Okay? And therefore, what have we proven so far? That you have to pay Karen. You don't have to pay Chomash for all those cases. In which case, we're still struggling with, if Lo Hodeh Ha'av, then why is there a Karen payment? Okay? So now, now we're going to try to find an answer to that question.
And they don't examine at all the possibility that maybe it was a Ta'ut Sofrim?
What would be a Ta'ut Sofrim here? Even if you say Yishtamu, it means the same thing. They have to pay. It's all the same. It's a more a linguistic question. What was the word? The mashma'ut, the meaning of it is exactly the same. It's clear, 100% clear from that bright, you have to pay the Karen. So the question is, if he's lo hoda ha'av, then what kind of payment are we talking about here? So now they're going to say, Amre elamai lo hoda aviv v'hoda b'no. The point is, the father didn't come forward and admit it, but the son did. Okay? And because the son admitted it, that's why there's a Karen payment, but there's no Chomesh. So now they're going to say, wait a minute. If the father stole money, he doesn't admit that he did it. The son comes along and swears that the father didn't steal money, and then he admits that he lied. So now the Gemara is, and that's what they're saying the case is, where you pay Karen, not Chomesh. The Gemara says, v'nichayev b'no Chomesh ha-shvua didei. He should be chayev on his own shvua then. It's his own new Hashem Gzela, right? He swore falsely.
Hashem Gzela, that's just that he swore that his father didn't steal.
Right, exactly, right, exactly. It's not his act of stealing, but he's doing an act of lying falsely about something. So he should pay for his own shvua. So Amre b'she'en Gzela kayemet. It's a case where the actual stolen item isn't around anymore. Now, what's the relevance? Okay, the relevance is that if you remember, we learned this before. If somebody steals, their kids actually aren't required to return it unless the item is still in existence. Because if the item's in existence, people are going to say, right, it's Kavod Aviv. You remember that? Where people are going to say, oh, look at that cow. That was the cow that belonged to so-and-so and the guy stole it. And people are going to still talk about the father as if he's a robber. But if the item's not in existence anymore, then you're not going to have that problem. So now they say, it must be a case where Eng Zela Kayemet, and then the son's not chayev to return the item. So yeah, he swore about it, but it wasn't anything that he was actually obligated to return. Now, when he swore about Eng Zela that was actually Kayam, so that's a classic case of Shvua. He's saying, there's something in my property that's yours, and I'm lying about it. That's like a Pikadon case almost. It might switch into a Pikadon, not a Gzela case.
What's the issue of value? I mean, the person is still at the...
It's true the person's at the money, but the Yorshim aren't responsible for that. That kind of, it doesn't transfer to the Yorshim. So then they say, well, Ibisha Eng Gzela Kayemet. Well then, again, what did we say? In this case that we're trying to find a case for, you pay the Karen, you don't pay the Chomesh. If the Gzela is Ena Kayemet, then Afilu Karen Nami Lo Mishalim. He doesn't have to pay anything, not even the Karen, right? That's what we were just saying. He doesn't have an obligation to return the stolen item if it's not in the value of the stolen item, if the stolen item doesn't exist. So what are the answers? Lo Tzricha Di'ika Achrayu. It's a case where the father owns the money based on land. In other words, there's a chroyut nechassim for this payment. He owes the guy for having stolen, and there's his land was lien to the theft. Now, how could this be? So they say, v'chi ikach chroyut nechassim, my have. Even if there's a chroyut nechassim, and that's how could this possibly be? Milva alpehi, umilva alpeh. Even if you say that the father had somehow liened property to pay back the loan and just hadn't paid to pay back the theft, and just hadn't paid it back yet. What do we know about Yorshim and Achrayut Nechassim? It's like a milva alpehi. Milva alpeh eino gove lomen ha-yorshim ve-lomen ha-lekuchot. In other words, we've learned this distinction between a milva b'shtar and a milva b'alpeh. If you have a shtar that says, I owe you money, so you can take it from lien property. And therefore, your tomim also have to pay it because the property was already lien. But if we have a b'alpeh agreement, okay, we've never written it down. Then, and that's the assumption here, if he said, I'll pay you back with this land, and he just never paid him back with that land, that would be the assumption. Nobody writes out a shtar, instead of paying you for the stolen property, I'm giving you this land, right? The assumption is, he just said, I'll give you this land instead, and now they want to take it from the Yatomim. You can't do that. You can't take stuff that wasn't leaned with a shtar from the heirs. So, Therefore, what are they saying? Ah, now we're finally getting to what the case is. Amre b'sha'ama b'din. It was a case where the father was taken to court because of the theft. He was stood up in court. He was convicted. And then what happens when he's convicted? Then his property becomes leaned to the guy who was robbed. And it gets leaned by the Beit Din. Now that's already not a milvah al peh. That's already a formal documentation. Okay? Now, even if they didn't write a document, the court has records. You know, they've got their own records, and that's what we're going to say. So now and then the father dies before he pay back the money. The Yorshim now have to pay back the Karen. What's going to be the question, though? Wait a minute. If there's a Chayu Nechasim on what he owed, and what did he owe? He owed the Karen plus the Chomesh. So the assumption is there'll be a Chayu Nechasim on both. So now we're finally getting to the final answer. Okay, there's an opinion of Rav Huna, the son of Rav Yeshua, who says that when it comes to, now what happened in this case, you have to remember, the father didn't admit anything. Now what happened? He got taken to court. In other words, he said he didn't do it, but they found him, they caught him, they took him to court, they convicted him. They said, you have to pay, now his property becomes leaned, but when he then dies, he doesn't pay. The son claims now, you have to remember, there's an added thing. The son now has to swear falsely in order to be chayav.
After the court found him guilty.
So the son claimed, maybe he claimed I already paid it back or something, right? So he claims there's no such thing. Then he comes forward and admits it. And now what do we say? Ein mashamim chomesh al kfirat shiabud karko. What did he say? He said, I swear this property isn't lien to you. Let's say he probably said like this. This property isn't lien to you because I already paid you back the money that I owed you. I paid it in cash. And therefore, take the lien off the property. Okay. Then he comes back and he says, okay, I lied. At that point, what happens? He has to pay the Karen, but there's no chomesh on shibu karka. Okay? The laws of chomesh apply to metaltalin, not to karka ot. Okay? And therefore, that must be what this case is. So we've gotten to a very far extreme about what possibly the case this Braita is talking about. Okay? So you can look if you...
He thinks the father's paid it back. He has no idea.
That's a separate thing if he didn't know. And he lied because he didn't know. That's a separate thing.
So
right? That's different.
What happens?
Then he's probably not chayav because it was b'shogeg. And he didn't know.
So the lender doesn't get anything.
It came up somewhere, this thing about the kid not knowing. Here. That's the next case. I knew it was coming up. Okay. So now, Yafin. So Rava says, I'm going to go along with the beginning of what you developed, okay? But if you remember, at a certain point, we split and said, it's kishig zela kayemet, because if the zela was kayemet, he wouldn't be chayav. So now Rava says, no, this is the case. Hacha b'mayaskinan. Kigon shahaita diskiya shel aviv mufkede piyad achirim. The father stole something, okay? But now, it ends up, a diskiya is some sort of... thing that they would put on the animal to carry things, like some sort of pack. So it was, the father had stolen it, but gave it to somebody else. Someone else was watching it for him. So then what happened? The child didn't know, okay, that he had inherited it and that it was a stolen item, and that he didn't know that the father still had it. So he swore, and then he admitted, he found out, it turns out it was his, the guy returned it, and he realized, oh my God, he still never returned the stolen item, my father. So, what does he do? Karen mishalem ha'ite, he has to pay the Karen because he still has the stolen item. But, chomesh lo mishalem, deki ishtaba, because when he swore, bikushte ishtaba, he swore honestly, he really believed that he didn't have it. Tahalo havayada, and therefore he's not chayv chomesh. So exactly your question, yeah. Okay, so therefore we have two different malachim, but they both say it's a case where lo hodeh ha'av, but hodeh ha'bin. Okay? And it's both cases where, and then it splits at a certain point about what exactly happened. Is the gzela in his hands? In which case, we would say that this kid lied by accident, and that's why he doesn't pay the chomesh. Or, if gzela wasn't in his hands, and then you'd have to say that it was a case where he was hu'amah b'din already, and then there was achrayat nechasim, and then the kid lied about the achrayat nechasim, and that's why he doesn't pay the chomesh, because there's no chomesh on that, but he does have to pay the karen. Okay. Next case. Chutz mechap mi pacho mishava pruta b'karen. This is when he says, right, you owe me, I'm not going to make you pay me anything except for less than a shava pruta of the karen, in which case you don't have to bring the object to him. Okay, you can send it biad shaliach. So Amar Papa lo shanu ela she'en gzela kayemet. That's only if you're paying him back the value, because the gzela doesn't exist. Aval gzela kayemet tzarich lelech acharav. But if you still have the gzela and it's worth less than, you know, let's say he says, pay me back, right? I don't want most of it. Just pay me a really little bit of it. But you still have the item. Okay, let's say you stole a bunch of things that the guy bought from the shekel shop or something, right? Like, stole a whole bunch of them, right? And you now, he says, I just want this one I really love, and I want that one back, and it's less than a sheva pruta. So what did we say now? In that case, Rav Papa says, you have to actually bring it to him, even though the Mishnah seemed to imply you didn't. But so the Mishnah only meant when you're paying the value. And he says, I only want less than a pruta back, which obviously is a strange case. Why would you ever want that? But anyway, maybe he had some sentimental value and he wants it back, if it's an item. So chayshinan shematiyakir, we're concerned that maybe the item will go up in value. So right now it's in your hands and it's not worth a pruta. But tomorrow it might be worth a pruta. And then you're going to have a stolen item in your hands and therefore you have to return it. Now we're going to see that Rav Papa says the exact same, the opposite thing. Ika de Amre, some people say that that's not what Rav Papa said. Amar Rav Papa, loshna gzela kayemet, loshna she'en gzela kayemet, eino tzarich le'elech acharav. No matter what, it doesn't matter whether you have it or not. L'shema tiyakir lo chayshina. We don't worry that, oh, maybe down the road it'll be worth more. The point is, right now you have your chiyuv hashava. Your chiyuv hashava doesn't apply to less than a sheva pruta. So therefore, you don't, in other words, your chiyuv hashava to bring it to him physically. So therefore, you don't have to worry about that. Now we're going to talk about, if we're already talking about fluctuating prices, we're going to talk about another case that Rava brings up. Amar Rava, gazal shalosh agudot b'shalosh prutot. You stole three bundles that were worth three prutot, meaning each one was worth a pruta. V'huzlu, and now all of a sudden they went down in value. V'amdu al shtayim, and the three together are only worth two prutot. Im yichzir lo shtayim, chayav lahachzir lo acheret. If he returned two of the bundles, and now he's left with something that's less than a sheva pruta, but at the time of the theft was worth a sheva pruta, then he needs to return it. V'tana tuna, and there's a Mishnah that supports this. What is it? Gazal chametz v'avar alav ha-pesach, omer lo haresha chalafanecha. How does this work? Because at the time that you stole the chametz, right, the chametz, it was chametz, and it was before Pesach. So you stole it was worth a sheva pruta, and now that there's Isur Hana'ah on it, it's not worth anything. So, what do you see? You still say, Haresha Chalafanecha, you can return it as is, right? Meaning, you can return it at zero value, but what did we learn from this? Why can you return it at zero value? Because Tama di'ita be'ene, because it's existing right now, so you can return the exact item you stole. But ha leita be'ene, but if it didn't exist, what would be the situation? Af agav dehashta lav mamona, even though now this is worth zero, kevan, and this is going to be the important part for us, just like in our case, right? What's our case? Now this one bundle is worth less than a sheva pruta. Kevan de meikara mamona hu by shlume. Okay? So since the chamed shavar lava pesach, originally at the time you stole it was worth something, therefore you have to pay the value of what it was worth then and not what it's worth now. But, so therefore, hachanami, same in our case, af agav dehashta lo sheva pruta, even though now it's not worth a sheva pruta, kevan de meikara havi sheva pruta by shlome. Okay, so that's why he says that's proof for the fact that you'd have to pay that one bundle, you'd have to return it. By Rava, Rava now asks, gazal shtei agudot bepruta. Let's say you had two agudot that are worth a pruta together. Ve'echzir lo achat mehen. So now what happens? He's left with, this is different from the previous case, because nothing went down in value. Now he has to return something he stole, but the item is only worth half of a pruta. You follow? He had two that together equaled a whole, right? He had one and two, right? Two sections. He returns one, so he no longer has it. This one that's left is only worth half a pruta. So at this point, this is going to remind us of something we learned in Nazir, which we're going to see in a minute. At this point, he's left with only half a pruta. Now, you don't have, if he had just stolen half a pruta, he wouldn't have to return. Right? There would be no chiyuv hashava of, you know, having to bring it physically to the guy. So now, so if gazal shtei agudot bepruta v'chzir lo achad mehem mau, mi amrinan hashta leka gzela. At this point, right now, there's no real gzela because this isn't even a sheva pruta. Odilma halo hadar gzela dehave gabe. Where you say, no, but originally this was a stolen item because it joined with, right, number two joined with number one. Together they were a whole, and now he's got something in his hands that was stolen legitimately, you know, you want to say, as a shavapruta, and now he hasn't yet returned it. So, hadar pashta. He now answers, gzela enkan, hashava enkan. Okay, so the first way they understand this means, well, there's no stolen item in his hands, and but he hasn't fulfilled his chiyuv of returning it. So they say, wait a minute. Igzela enkan, hashava yeshkan. If he doesn't have igzela in his hands, well then, by process of elimination, you know, by deduction, well then he has returned it.
But he stole two. He stole two halves equals a whole.
But he only returned a half.
But he still stole the two, so he still has something stolen in his hand.
Yes, but what are they saying? At this point, since the stolen item isn't worth anything, so then he doesn't have a chiyuv hashava.
But it's not worth anything to him, but maybe it's worth something to the person he stole it from.
Yeah, it's true. But but your chiyuv is on a shavapruta, okay? So now, hachi kamra, this is how you should read it. Af al pi shegzela ein kan, mitzvat hashava ein kan. So now this is like what Deb is saying, which is, even, this is the way they read it. We misread it the first time. You know, the Gemara misread it. Even though there's no gzela, because he doesn't have more than a shavapruta in his hands, he hasn't fulfilled the mitzvah of hashava. In other words, there's still this chiyuv of hashava upon him. Okay? Amar Rava, and Rava says, here we're going to see it by Nazir, Hare Amru, Nazir Shegilech v'shier shtei sa'arot, lo asa v'lo klum. Do you remember this?
Yes.
A Nazir shaves his whole head, but he leaves over two hairs. Two hairs is a shear, which is not good. It's not considered your hair is shaved. So, lo asa v'lo klum. In other words, he didn't shave his hair. He's not Yosei Eschiv of having shaved off his hair at the end of his Nazirut. By Rava, but now Rava asked about this, Gilech achat v'nashra achat. What if now he goes and shaves one, which is not a chiyuv, it's not a kiyum of giluach, because it's only one, it's not a shear of giluach, but the other one now falls out. So in the end, he's got no hair on his head. But he didn't, wasn't making the mitzvah of giluach. Ma, Amar le rabacha mitifti le ravina. Nazir shegilech achat achat kamibaya. It's a question. Nazir shegilech achat achat kamibaya le rava. In other words, he's asking, it's like the same question, what if the Nazir shaves off one hair at a time? So that he never gets a shear of giluach. Okay, he just snips one snip. And he snips another snip. And he snips another snip. So he never does a shear of having shaved two hairs. Right? That's the same question he's asking. Amarle, lo, sricha, which was already a question that was asked, so why are you asking this question? So he said, no. What he really meant was, kigon shana shar achat meham v'gilech achat. In other words, it was in the opposite order. One fell, and then he shaved the last one. Mi amrinan, hashta mia ha leka shi'ur. Do you say, look, in the end, there was no shi'ur. O dilma ha lav giluachi. Deme'ikara, do we say, hashta mia ha leka shi'ur? In other words, his hair is, he has no hair. So in the end, should be good. O dilma halav giluachu kavanta meikara hashir shtei sarot. In other words, there's no real giluach because in the real act of giluach that was when he was supposed to be mekayim his mitzvah of giluach, he left over two hairs and it wasn't a good giluach. V'hashta ki gilach, and now when he shaves, when there's that one left, he had no choice. And what's the difference between the two cases we saw? In the case where he shaves off one and then the other one falls, so he could have potentially shaved both. Here, this guy was stuck. He made a mistake originally by not shaving off two hairs, but then one fell and then he no longer had the option to do the mitzvah, which is like our case, basically. So hadar pashta, so now what does he answer? Se'ar kan, enkan, giluach enkan. So now they say, right, there's no hair, but there's also no giluach, right? So ise'ar enkan, giluach yeshkan. I said, what do you mean? Again, the same question as before. First, they understand he's saying, you know, if you have no hair, right, then you should be yotzei the mitzvah of giluach because you've gotten rid of all your hair. So now they say, no, hachi kamar. Af al pisha se'ar enkan, mitzvah giluach enkan. In other words, on the one hand, yes, you've gotten rid of all your hair. However, you weren't mekayim the mitzvah of giluach. Okay, the question here is really, can you bring the korban if you haven't b'mekayim your mitzvah of giluach. In other words, it's true you have no hair, but you haven't been mekayim the mitzvah of giluach. So it's the same response here.
It's not about the end result.
It's about the act, exactly. This is all about a chepsaga, you know, like a maase totza'ah. In other words, the totza'ah is there, but the maase is missing. Okay. V'amar Rava. Here's another case. Hare amru, chavit shenikva ustamu ashmarim. You have this barrel. Okay, now in order to understand this, you have to understand that for different chelim, we learned this way, way back. In Shabbat it came up in other places. If you have a kli, depending on what your kli is supposed to hold, therefore, there's different sizes. Like if it's vault, it goes by the pasuk of the Sheva Minim. And if it's a Rimon, then it has to be a big enough hole, right, that a Rimon can't fall through. If it's, right, it's going to be a smaller size if it's a Kli that's for Zaytim, which are smaller, you know. So the size, whatever the size is for whatever the Kli is used for, there's different sizes as to what will make this Kli not keep Tumah in. Okay, well, how does this work? There's all sorts of things about Tumah. So there's different opinions about what exactly the case is. Some people say there's a roof, and you and the whole quad, right, there's a roof between two ceiling, between two floors. There's tumah upstairs. Does the tumah go down? So if there's a big enough hole, then the tumah will go through. If the hole is closed, then it won't go through. Or some people say we're talking about a kli that's closed, and but the seal, you know, part of it opened up. So the question is it open enough, big enough, that if you're, let's say, you're in an ohel, and there's a dead body, and there's a kli that's sealed. So anything in the kli doesn't become Tameh because the Kli is protecting it. Anything inside is not Tameh. But what if this hole, if there's a hole big enough, then it's going to basically, the tumah is going to go inside the Kli. So either which way we look at it, the question is, this hole right now is a big hole, but what's going to happen here? It had a hole that was big enough to let the tumah either pass through, basically. But now, what happened? Inside the Kli, they were fermenting wine. And the shmarim sunk down to the bottom and started closing up this hole, okay? And it somewhat closed the hole. Hitziluha, okay? This can protect, right? So if the shmarim basically close up the hole entirely, then that's good enough, right? They basically save, right, the tumah from passing through. By Rava, agach chetziyamahu. What if the shmarim filled up only half of the hole? So amar le Ravi, amar le Rava Ashi. Lav Mishnatenu Hizo, is this not like our Mishnah? Ditnan Chavit Shenikva Ustamu Ashmarim Hitzilua. But Pikakab is Moran. Now this is the thing they're going to assume is comparable. Let's say you put a I don't know this Moran. It's like a leaf, a reed, what?
A vine.
You put a vine in. Okay. Now a vine is not going to be a pikak, right? It's not going to close it up. So Ad Shiyimareach, you have to basically take teat, what do you call it? Tar, and close it up. Hayubwa pashtayim, let's say there were two zmarot, which already you could say is like half, right? You already put two vines through the hole, that's going to cover about half of it. Ad shimareach min atzadim. Ubein zmara l'chaverta. Not only do you, right, you have to put the tar, close it up on the sides and in between these two zmarot. So what do you see here? Clearly, covering up half the hole. And what happens if you cover up half the hole? It's no longer a size that's makabel tumah, right? That's gonna. But it's also, it was originally, and you've only closed up half of it. So how do we view it? So now they say, what do you see here? And if you really want to consider this closed, it has to be totally sealed. So now what do they say? Tama de marach. It has to be totally sealed. But halo marach lo. Amai v'tahavi ki agav chetzia. Right? It sounds like the same case. So why are you even asking a question if it's a Mefurash Mishnah? So Amre, Hafi Hashta, you're comparing apples and oranges. Hatam ilo marach lo kai. Agav chetzia b'midi dekai kai. What's the difference between the shmarim and the zmara? The zmara, if you don't put it into place, it's going to move around. It's not stable. Whereas the shmarim are stable in the place that they are. So that's considered, if you do only half of the shmarim, it's better than the zmorot that are going to move around. And that's the difference between them, and that's why he asked his question. Okay, but Amar Rava. Amru, so we don't have an answer to this question. Hare Amru, Gazal Chametz, Vavar Alav HaPesach, Omer Lo Hare Shochal Lefanecha. So Rava says, oh, wait, maybe this is, one second. Hare Amru, Gazal Chametz, Vavar Alav HaPesach, Omer Lo Hare Shochal Lefanecha. By Rava, Right. Okay. So no, we're on a new thing. So he says, if you stole chametz and avar alav pesach, what do? You can return the chametz that's basically worth nothing because it's asr ba'anah back to the guy you stole it from. But by Rava, Rava asks now, nishba alav, after it became forbidden after Pesach, you swore that you didn't have it. So mahu, what happens in that case where you swore? Okay? That you swore that you never stole this chametz. Mi amrinan, kevan di'im mignav, by shlumele, and therefore, mamona kakafirle. This is if you remember, what did we call this chametz case? We called it dina degarme. You remember this? Because it indirectly causing damages, right? It's a case where it's now worth nothing, but if you have to return it, like let's say the chametz gets lost, so now what happens? You'd have to return it at the value it was when you stole it. And it's, right now it's worth nothing, and there's no, it doesn't have any financial value. Karega, this is worth epis, but it's got potential for mamon because if you were to lose it, then you'd have to pay kishav gzeila, and you'd have to pay the full value. Let's say it was worth 100. Okay, so it has right. It's also davar hagorem lemamon. Right, it has a potential chiyuv of money. So what do we say? Do we say that if it was stolen from him, he'd have to pay it, and therefore he's kofer mamon? When you come after Pesach and you say, "I swear I don't have that chametz in my hands that you claim I owe you, which is really worth nothing," do we say, "Well, since if it would have gotten stolen from him, he'd actually have to pay 100, therefore it's considered mamon that he was kofer"? Oh, Dilma hashtamiat hamanach va'afar ba'almahu v'lo kafarle mamona. Okay, so now he's saying, or do we say that right now it's in front of him? This item, this loaf of bread, that's worth zero, okay? And therefore, he's not kofar mamon at all. Okay, so the question is, do we consider this, you're kofar mamon and you have to pay the keren and the chomesh, or do we say the keren's worth nothing, so you know, this isn't even, you weren't kofar in anything, because the item at that point was right in front of him. So that's Rava's question. So now they're going to say, wait a minute. Milta dibai leila Rava, pshita leila Rava. This question that Rava had, we've seen this line before, was totally obvious to Rava. He didn't think this was a question at all. Dama Rava, shori ganavta, v'hu omer lo ganavti. Okay, you say, hey, that's my shori you stole. And he says, what are you talking about? I didn't steal it. So then he says to him, well, mativo etzlecha. So then what's it doing in your house if you didn't steal it? Right? That's mine. So what does he say? Okay, now there's all different possibilities of what he says. Shomer chinam ani alav. He could say, oh, I was watching it for you for free. You gave it to me as a pikadon. That's why it's in my hands. So now, what do we say? Is the guy chayav or not? So they say he's chayav. Share patar atzmo migneva va'aveda. Even though this guy's now going to return the item, and the item's worth nothing, basically, it's going to go right back to its owner. When he says, I'm a shomer chinam, what's he saying? I agree with you, it's yours. So there's no, he didn't steal any monetary value, but what did he steal? That if it were to have gotten, this has potential from, this, right now, if I have something, I'm a shomer chinam for someone, and his item is in my property, that's not financial obligation for me, right? I don't owe any money to anyone, I'm just going to return the item. But it could cost me money. How could it, no, I'm sorry. Potentially, by me claiming that I was a shomer chinam, as opposed to me saying this belongs to you, by me saying I'm a shomer chinam, I'm exempting myself from something. I'm gaining some financial advantage. What's my financial advantage? That if it's a certain level of responsibility I'm gaining, that if it were to have gotten stolen, patar atzmo migneva v'aveda, I'd be patar. Okay? Let's say he says shomer sachar ani alav. So again, he's going to be chayav, because what he's denying, right, has financial value for him. Why? What's it going to be in a shomer sachar case? Sharei patar atzmo mishvuro meita, right? You're patar for an ones case. Shoel ani alav. Let's say you say I borrowed it. There's one case where shoel's patur. Okay, generally we say he's chayav in everything, even onsim. But there's one case of where he's patur. Chayav sharei patar atzmo mimeita machmat melacha. If you were using it in its actual way that's supposed to work, and all of a sudden it drops dead, that's not a case where shoel's patur from that. So in all these cases, there's an advantage to saying it, and therefore he gains a financial advantage. So alma, what do we say here? Afagav dehai kaim. even though it's existing. Kevan de imignav mamona ka kafar. If it would have gotten stolen, he is kofar mamon, because he's saying, I wouldn't have to pay you back. When if he stole it, he'd have to return it no matter what. You follow? Let's say, right, let's just take both options. If it was stolen, right, which it was, he really stolen it, then what happens? If it gets stolen from him, what does he have to do? He has to pay back the original value. If he was a shomer chinam or a shomer sachar or a shomer shoel, whatever it was, in some sort of a case, he'd be patur. So therefore, exactly. So his claim that I'm a shomer sachar, I'm a shomer chinam, I'm a shoel, has financial advantage for him, a potential financial advantage. But because it has a potential financial advantage, came Rebbe and he said, therefore, it's mamona ka kafar, okay? He really is kofar mamon, because what he's kofar is a potential financial obligation down the road. So hachanami should say the same thing here with the chametz. Af agav de afra ba'almahu, kevan de imignav by the shlumele, since if, this chametz right now is worth nothing. So I swear that I don't have this chametz shabbat, I'll have a pesach on my hands. So, well, I'm swearing about nothing, that I owe you nothing, basically. There's potential here, because really, if it were stolen from me, I'd have to pay you the value it was at the time of, even though right now it's in front of me. But since potentially something could happen to it, I have to pay you the value, I would have to pay you, in potential, the value it was at the time. And this is what it's interesting the Gemara doesn't say this, but this is davar hagorem lemamon, right? It's something that could have potential money and obligation in the future, and therefore mamona ma'alia. Hashtanami mamona ka kafir le. Okay? By shlomele mamona ma'alia, he'd have to pay him good money, right, real money, and therefore hashtanami, therefore right now, even though it's in front of him, mamona ka kafir le. Okay, so now, what happens here is, Rava asked this question about the chamet, Rava said it's totally obvious, we learned it out from this other case, and now, Yativ Rava b'Amar l'Hashmata. Rava was, this is Rava, I believe. Right. Rava was teaching this thing that he learned, okay, this thing he just said. Etive Rav Amram l'Rava. Rav Amram now asks a question to, to Rava or to Rava?
To Rava.
Right, to Rava. There it also doesn't say it, but I guess it means both, right?
Yeah.
So Rav Amram asks a question on Rava. V'chi cheshba. Prat lemodebi ikar. The whole thing that you said doesn't make any sense, because we have a braita that says, what does it say in the pasuk? You denied it. What does it mean you denied it? You have to deny the main claim. In this case of saying, oh, you're right, it is yours, but I'm a shomer chinam, that's not denying the main claim, right? You're not modebi ikar, you're just mode a little bit, right? You're lying a little bit, but you're basically admitting to the main thing, which is that it's not mine. So, here's the rest of the braita. Ketzad, shori ganavta v'hu omer, lo ganavti, mati bo etzlecha. So, right, what's it doing there? Ata machartali, you sold it to me. Ata natatali b'matana, you gave it to me as a gift. Now, these are different cases. The Gemara is going to question this. Well, if you say, that's saying it is mine.
Right.
So, that's a little weird. Why are you saying that's not modebi yikar? We'll get to it later. Avicha machuli, your father sold it to me. Avicha netnuli b'matana, your father gave it to me as a gift. Acher matana achar parati, no. Achar parati rat me'elav, right? It came into my property, right? It's yours, but it ran into my property. We're chasing after my para. Ba'atzli, to'eba derech umitzativ, it was wandering on the road and I found it. Also, we're going to question that, so still, you should have returned it. Shomer chinam ani alav, shomer sachar ani alav, here's the main thing for our purposes, shoel ani alav, v'nishba v'hoda, yachol yehei chayav, you might have thought you're chayav, tamud lamar, v'chi cheshba, prat lemode b'ikar. Okay, so what does he say here? Rabba, how could you possibly say that this is a case of asham gzeilot, where, you know, you admitted it in this kind of way, you know, you swore that you were shomer chinam and then you said I lied. That's not a case, because you were modeh b'ikar. You agreed with him from the beginning that it belonged to him. And that's not a case that you're chayav asham gzeilot. Okay? According to this braita. So now, what does he answer him? Amar le tedura? Like, This is preposterous. You misunderstood entirely. Kitanya hahu dekaamrale helach. Your case, the brighter you brought, is a helach case. We'll say this in a minute what that is. And ki ka'amina, what I was talking about is dekaima ba'agam, when the animal was not in front of you. What I'm saying is, when you said he's a shomer chinam, okay, you came and said, and you lied and said, I'm a shomer chinam for this animal. So when the brighter said that you were moda bi'ikar, and therefore there's no chiyuv of ashum zelot, that's when you said, I'm a shomer chinam on this, oh, but you think I'm a shomer chinam, but you think I stole it, fine, just take it. Helach means take it, halacha. Okay, this is for you, just take it. Now in that case, if he gave it to him right away, he gained no financial advantage of being a shomer chinam, because there's no possibility down the road that the animal might get lost because he's giving it to him right away. Whereas the case I was talking about was where I said to you, you're right, it's your property's in my hand, but I'm a shomer chinam, I didn't steal it. But the animal wasn't there right at that moment. The animal was in the agam, he was down by the river, and I'm going to give it to you the next day, and I say, okay, so I'll give it to you later. At that point, there's still potential that something might happen to the animal, and therefore there's financial value. So Rabbi says you're comparing two different cases that aren't identical. And in one case, right, where there's no potential that I'll ever have to pay anything, then I'm modi b'ikar. I'm agreeing with you that it's yours, and I give it to you right away. But when I don't give it to you right away, that's a case where you're going to be... there's going to be potential down the road, there's going to be chiyuv mamoni, and therefore, my admitting that is not modeh b'ikar, because there's still a big financial advantage I get, and it's a potential one, but it's still considered considerable, and therefore, I would have to be chay of the ashum gzela. Okay? So again, that was this answer that Rabba had given, where Rabba didn't have an answer, right? But it was clear to Rabba that that was the case with this chamet shavar alav pesach. Okay, we'll get now next time into more about what were these other cases and how could you say that it's modia, right? How could you say it's modia when the guy says, you sold it to me? That he's not agreeing that it belongs to the guy. It changed it entirely. So what about the rest of the cases? We're going to understand that brighter better. We're going to talk more about this davar hagorim lemamon kimamon damer.